Welcome to the Jam Pack Report today for July the 23rd of 2023. I'm Jam Pack Sam, and we have a huge show for you today because PlayStation 5 Pro rumors are starting to circulate, and you could get your hands on one as soon as November of next year, according to these new reports. We also have the end of Xbox Live, with Microsoft rolling everything into Game Pass starting this September, and PlayStation's Project Q gets a bit of a leak a little bit too early. We have all of this and more on today's show, so without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. Let's start things off with PlayStation 5 Pro, and all of this is coming from Tom Henderson, a notable industry insider, who is reporting on what he is hearing from Sony over at Key to Gaming, but Tom's guide has a great breakdown of the key takeaways. They write, "To date, a mid-life cycle refresh of the base PS5 has yet to be officially confirmed by Sony, but reliable leaker Tom Henderson of Insider Gaming, who's accurately predicted PlayStation's hardware plans in the past, previously claimed the console is 100% in development and the dev kits could ship later this year. Now Henderson is back, this time writing for Key to Gaming, with more purported details about the development process and what kinds of specs we can expect from the PlayStation 5's powered-up cousin. According to Henderson, Sony is already holding demo events for the PlayStation 5 Pro, which is codenamed Project Trinity, to align with the Matrix-inspired codenames the company's used in the past, like Neo for the PlayStation 4 Pro and Morpheus for the original PSVR. While pinning down exact specs remains difficult, two things his sources have confirmed are that the PS5 Pro will feature 18,000 megatransfers of memory and 30 workgroup processors. He goes on to say the upgraded system will target more consistent frame rates at 4K resolution, feature a new top-of-the-line performance mode for 8K resolution, and sport accelerated ray tracing. The PS5 Pro has apparently been in development since early 2022, which explains the slew of rumors we've seen circulating over the past few years. The majority of game developers are scheduled to receive dev kits by November 2023 at the latest, and as for when we can expect the PlayStation 5 Pro to hit store shelves, Henderson said, whether or not a PlayStation 5 Pro console is desired enough in the current market remains to be seen, but as of writing, the PlayStation 5 Pro is in development and is targeting a November 2024 release date. I think this brings us to a very good question. Do we need a PlayStation 5 Pro right now? Is the console market asking for this? And we saw Phil Spencer commenting on the possibility of a mid-generation upgrade for the Xbox Series X in the same way that we saw the Xbox One X come out for the last generation of consoles. And Phil Spencer said they aren't hearing that need from the audience. And on top of that, he also mentioned that the Xbox Series X is effectively their mid-generation upgrade. They have a two-tier system in their console setup right now, where there is the Xbox Series S for the entry-level players, and the Xbox Series X gives you that pro experience. Now, as somebody who's been playing on an Xbox Series X since day one, which is comparable to the PlayStation 5, the only reason that I would want a mid-generation refresh would be to eliminate that need to choose between resolution and performance. That is the only reason I would want to get a mid-generation upgrade, because booting up a big AAA game, even in 2023, I am having to choose a 4K resolution at a lower frame rate, or I'm having to choose a higher performance with 60 or even 120 frames per second at the cost of resolution, where I might have to run the games at 1080p or 1440p upscaled to 4K. This idea of 8K gaming from a PlayStation 5 Pro, again, all of this is a rumor, but the idea of 8K gaming just seems ridiculous to me in a world where the majority of people are just getting onto 4K. The majority of players, I would wager, are still not even playing at full 4K resolutions. You're looking at 1080p, 1440p, that kind of thing, where those monitors and displays are way more affordable. Saying 8K resolution gaming just seems like you're, number one, prepared for the future, but number two, might be getting the cart before the horse, so to speak. People aren't quite there yet. So I would be curious to know if behind the scenes at Sony, they're having discussions around, hey, we built this really cool thing. It has a lot of power to it. Is there even a need for this right now in the console market? And on top of that, what would the price point actually be? Because right now we have the report of a new PlayStation 5 model that could have a removable disk drive that could just streamline the entire production process for Sony and make one unified PlayStation 5 unit that would be sold in stores with that disk drive option if you wanted to add it in later. But Additionally, why would they throw another console on top of that? Because if you already charge $500 for a PlayStation 5, what would that price point be for the Pro? $650? $700? You're getting to that point of the PlayStation 3 generation where they unveiled that console, unveiled the $700 price tag, and people said, whoa, are you looking at the economy right now? Do you think I'm going to go out and spend $700 on a console? Your hardcore fans might, but the core gaming audience won't. Take all of this with a grain of salt right now, because time will tell if this is going to be... Take all of this with a grain of salt right now, but the PlayStation 5 Pro could be happening, and it could be coming as soon as November of 2024. However, if you don't want to wait until November of 2024, Sony has another PlayStation 5 that's going to be ready for you much, much sooner. In fact, in just a couple of weeks, Marvel Spider-Man 2 Limited Edition Bundle PlayStation 5 console is officially on the way, and there you have it. It is a very, very good-looking PlayStation 5. What an exciting moment for PlayStation players as the Insomniac team just wrapped up a captivating panel at San Diego Comic-Con they write over at the PlayStation blog, with fantastic new reveals from Marvel Spider-Man 2. This includes a first look at the PlayStation 5 console, Marvel Spider-Man 2 Limited Edition Bundle, which features a custom PS5 console cover design and matching DualSense wireless controller, and you can see the reveal trailer right here. They write, "We are thrilled to debut these stunning designs for our fans today because of how they capture the look and feel of Marvel Spider-Man 2. The threat of Venom and the symbiote will be one of the most formidable challenges that our two Spider-Men will face in Marvel Spider-Man 2. This is why we wanted to reflect the intensity of the symbiote and its capacity for transformation and power with a takeover design for the PlayStation 5 console and DualSense wireless controller." And there you have it. Very, very good looking limited edition console here. And they go on to talk more about this, but it just continues to talk about the power balance that's going to be shown off in Spider-Man 2. You have the symbiote fighting for control, Peter and Spider-Man fighting for control over the symbiote. It's going to be a continuous back and forth. But the coolest part of this announcement is that if you don't want to buy an entirely new PlayStation 5, and you still want this limited edition look, they are selling the faceplates separately. You can buy them individually. So if you already have a PlayStation 5, and you don't want to trade yours in and upgrade entirely, this gives you the ability to just snap these bad boys on, and then you can pick up the controller separately as well. Love seeing this kind of thing, because back in the day, you had to upgrade to a new console entirely if you wanted that special edition look. Even now, looking at the PlayStation 5, comparing it to the Xbox Series S, for example, if I want the carbon black 1TB Series S, I still have to upgrade, still have to get that new console entirely when it launches later this year. With the PlayStation 5, you can just snap off those side panels and you're good to go. So I love the fact that they're making this look more accessible. Plus, at the end of the day, it's all marketing. It's all selling this console. Whether you want to sell a limited edition console itself or you want to sell these faceplates, when kids in high school go over to their friends' houses and they see this thing sitting there, they think about Spider-Man 2. So get this branding out there in the wild in any way that you possibly can. But if you do want to pick one up, pre-orders begin July 28th, and you can pick it up later this September. It is launching on September the 1st, ahead of the Marvel Spider-Man 2 launch on October the 28th, if I remember correctly. Let me make sure that I have that right. October the 20th, my bad. It is launching on October the 20th, and if you pre-order the console, you also get access to the pre-order bonuses that come with the standard edition of the game as well. So a couple of added benefits there. But Spider-Man 2 is shaping up to be one of the biggest games of the year. Based on the trailer shown off at San Diego Comic-Con, this very well could be another Game of the Year contender alongside a slew of fantastic games that we have gotten for this year. So while I might not pick this model up because I tend to lean more towards the sleek and modern designs of the regular PlayStation 5 and the regular Series X, I still appreciate that this is a beautiful looking console that is absolutely going to cater to those Marvel fans. So let me know down below, are you planning on picking one of these up? Let's keep the PlayStation news rolling with Project Q, the new handheld coming from Sony that looks like it runs Android, according to some new leaked images. Over at VGC, they write, several images of PlayStation's upcoming Project Q handheld have appeared online. The images, which were initially posted to Imgur and then later circulated on social media, show the handheld as well as the internal components of the machine. The images also appear to confirm that the machine will be Android-based. This could mean that Project Q could theoretically be modded to run other game streaming apps such as GeForce Now or Amazon Luna. Announced during a PlayStation Showcase event earlier this year, Project Q is described as, quote, a dedicated device that enables you to stream any game from your PS5 console using remote play over Wi-Fi, end quote. According to SIE, the device has an 8-inch 1080p HD screen and all the buttons and features of the DualSense wireless controller. While Sony is yet to announce an official release date for Project Q, it's expected to launch later this year. This is Sony's third attempt at a handheld device of this nature, following a hugely successful PSP and the cult classic PlayStation Vita. However, unlike those two families of systems, Project Q will exclusively be a streaming machine and necessitates a PlayStation 5 to work at all. This is a weird approach for a handheld. I've said that since this thing was announced. It is a PlayStation 5 remote play device, and a lot of people are just asking, why wouldn't I use my phone and a backbone controller, or even a tablet with an Xbox or a PlayStation 5 controller hooked up to it via Bluetooth? And the answer seems to be that this integrates that functionality of the DualSense, where you do have that deeper feel, that deeper integration into the game. But is that really worth having a dedicated device that just does PlayStation 5 remote play? I don't think that it personally is. Now, I haven't gone hands-on with it, much like nobody else has, except for this guy that leaked it, apparently. But I think that right now it all comes down to price point. How much is this thing going to cost? Because if you have a DualSense controller for $70, if you look at the tablet that's effectively baked into the DualSense, you're looking at probably $100, $150. I would say building those two together, the research and development that comes with that, the actual product creation, probably $250 for this is going to be my estimate for how much this thing is going to cost. And I think that is about as much as you can charge before people are going to say, this is way too much for what is effectively a PlayStation 5 remote play device. If it did more, which it very well could, since it reportedly runs Android, but if it did more, then you could potentially charge a little bit more for it. But looking at the competition, the Logitech G Cloud is right around $300. It does more, plays more games, has access to apps that run natively on the device itself right out of the box. If you look at this and you say $250 or $300, this is just a PlayStation 5 accessory, and I think that's going to be a tough sell for people. So I'm looking forward to seeing a release date. I'm looking forward to seeing a final price tag. And on top of that, once it's out in the wild, will people want to dive in and actually put this thing through the ringer? Will this become somebody's favorite way to play their PlayStation 5? And is there any kind of added hardware benefit, since this is a proprietary PlayStation device, that makes this stand out, aside from the DualSense functionality, from just having that tablet and controller setup? I would love to know if PlayStation's doing anything that makes this the way to play PlayStation 5 games away from your TV or your gaming setup. Really interested to see how they swing this thing and make it worth picking up, no matter what the price actually is. Now let's dive into the Xbox side of things with a new Game Pass tier that was announced this week, effectively replacing Xbox Live Gold. Jared West, the CVP of Gaming Marketing, writes over on the Xbox Wire, quote, "Today we are continuing our commitment to give players more choice and value by introducing Xbox Game Pass Core, launching on September the 14th. Game Pass Core is the evolution of Xbox Live Gold. Game Pass Core will give players access to our advanced multiplayer network, a select collection of over 25 games to play with friends around the world, and exclusive member deals, all for $10 per month or $59.99 per year. For over 20 years, Xbox players have been connecting via Xbox Live to compete, cooperate, and experience the world's biggest online multiplayer games. In 2017, we introduced Xbox Game Pass, which provided a curated library of games. Game Pass Core brings online play together with Game Pass and a new offering for gamers around the world. With this evolution, we are saying farewell to games with gold. We wanted to use this opportunity to reimagine how to include content with this subscription. We found that the answer to the most compelling catalog was to leverage select titles from our Xbox Game Pass catalog. Our launch collection of more than 25 titles from Xbox Game Studios, Bethesda, and our content partners will offer something for everyone to play on their Xbox Series X, S, and Xbox One consoles. Today, we are confirming the following titles for launch, with more to be announced in advance of September 14th. New titles will be added 2 to 3 times per year. The list includes Among Us, Descenders, Dishonored 2, Doom Eternal, Fable Anniversary, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Grounded, Halo 5 Guardians, Halo Wars 2, Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, Human Fall Flat, Inside, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Psychonauts 2, State of Decay 2, and The Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited. The game library may vary over time and by country. We'll get back to this graphic in a moment, but for our current Xbox Live Gold members, on September the 14th, Xbox Live Gold members will automatically become Game Pass Core members with no change in pricing and have immediate access to a new library of over 25 high-quality games. Member deals and discounts will also be part of Xbox Game Pass Core. Xbox Games with Gold will come to an end on September the 1st, and players can continue to access any Xbox One games they previously redeemed through Games with Gold if they remain a Game Pass Core or Game Pass Ultimate member. Regardless of subscription status, any Xbox 360 titles redeemed via Games with Gold in the past will be kept in the player's library. Thank you to everyone who has been with us since the early days, joined along the way with friends, and now with us in Xbox Game Pass. I'm proud and humbled by the stories we hear about online teammates becoming real-life friends after years of playing, or even marriages whose initial spark was ignited in a pre-match lobby. We can't wait to hear more from the community when it launches on September the 14th, and we will see you online. So, I want to open up this graphic right here. This is the rundown of how this new setup works. You have Xbox Game Pass Core, with online console multiplayer, the 25 game catalog, and member deals and discounts. Then there's the console tier, which is the basic Game Pass subscription that we've always had. You get hundreds of high-quality games on console, new games on day one, and the member deals and discounts. On PC, you get the hundreds of games, new games on day one, member deals and discounts, and the EA Play membership as well. And then Ultimate brings everything together, where you've got all of the games, all of the EA Play stuff, online console multiplayer, and the member deals, discounts, and perks. This is a weird setup, because looking at the shift away from Xbox Live Gold, this is a move in the right direction. The Games with Gold selection has been floundering over the past couple of years. They are running out of games to give away. In fact, that's why they took away the Xbox 360 games, because they effectively ran out of games they wanted to give us. And so this is going to give you a consistent and consistently changing new selection of games as a Game Pass Core member. This is something that is going to give you more relevant games that people actually want to dive into and play, especially looking at the console multiplayer side of things. I mean, having Gears on there is pretty big. Halo 5 Guardians, that's really cool. You immediately get access to some games that you probably want to play that have been released in the last 5 to 10 years that are relevant to the current conversation. That being said, it is weird that they made a move in the right direction, but they didn't go the extra mile to make the online multiplayer connectivity available for every tier of Game Pass. And I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it again here right now. Any subscription service in 2023 should bake in online multiplayer functionality. If I am paying you money for a subscription service to play games, you should give me the courtesy of letting me play the games through and through 100%. Not just the offline portion, like I'd be able to play if I just bought Game Pass for console every month, which is more expensive than the tier that includes the online multiplayer. It just doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't add up. Now, PC is over in its own little realm, because you don't need online multiplayer connectivity to play games on PC. That's never going to change. There would be so much backlash from that. There's no chance ever of that happening. But for the console space, it just makes more sense to add online connectivity. Now, they know this. They aren't dumb. The play here is to offer Core for those that want to transition away from Xbox Live Gold, because the company wants to get away from Xbox Live Gold. But if you look at the next tier up, if you want all of those hundreds of games on Game Pass, you don't just upgrade to console and give them an extra buck. You upgrade to the Ultimate tier at $17 per month, and you give them an extra $7 or $8. That's what the play is here. That's what they want you to do, because Ultimate is the ultimate goal. That's where they want you to be, and it makes the most sense. I mean, as somebody who loves Ultimate and has had it since, I believe, 2018, probably 2018, Ultimate has been the best choice that I've ever made in my gaming life. I have played so many games because of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, and I have no intention of stopping that subscription anytime soon or lowering it to another tier. But I still feel like it would have been a much better move. If we're making changes, let's make changes across the board and give players access to this online multiplayer library. Now, that being said, let's get back to the games that are actually included with this base level subscription, the Xbox Game Pass Core. It's a really unique subscription service offering because it gives you access to a nice taste of what Game Pass can provide, but it doesn't give you everything that you really want to dive into in the most modern games that players are actively playing. Looking at Halo in particular, as a big Halo fan, you do have Halo Wars 2, which is really neat, but then you have Halo 5 Guardians. There is no mention of the Master Chief Collection here. Of course, Halo Infinite has free-to-play multiplayer, but there is no mention of the campaign experience here. They just give you Halo 5 Guardians, which again is a good 343 multiplayer game. Halo 5 is fun. People enjoy Halo 5, but it's not the Halo that you probably want to play if you dive in on Xbox. This is just something to play in the Halo universe. Then you look at games like Doom Eternal. That's a big win. Would love to see the original Doom on there as well, but Doom Eternal makes the list. That's the newer one. That makes a ton of sense. Psychonauts 2, really cool first-party game that is still relevant in the day-to-day conversation. Then you have some multiplayer games in there. Fallout 76, The Elder Scrolls Online, Tamriel Unlimited. It's a good variety of games with more to come, so we could see some big names like the Master Chief Collection get added on day one, get added to this library ahead of launch on September the 14th. But even looking at this list of games starting out right now, it's a solid offering, and this is a move in the right direction away from Xbox Live Gold. So the too long didn't read of the entire thing is, it's a great move in the right direction, new games coming 2 to 3 times per year. It makes more sense aesthetically when you look at the Xbox Game Pass lineup and the subscription offering from Game Pass and Xbox. I just wish they had gone that extra mile and baked the online multiplayer into every tier, but that's the way the marketing machine works. You give people an offer they can't refuse, and that offer happens to be Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. And as these changes are taking place, more people than ever are interested in what Xbox is doing, because over on the Xbox Wire, they write, with over 92 million views, fans made this the most watched Xbox show ever. Of course, they're talking about the Xbox Game Showcase and the Starfield Direct. Jared West, the CMO at Xbox, writes, "It's been a little over a month since fans around the world enjoyed the Xbox Game Showcase and Starfield Direct, and we are delighted to say that within 7 days of the broadcast, we saw over 92 million views across our first ever double feature, trailers, and segments from the shows, a 38% rise in viewership over last year's show. It's become the highest rated and most viewed show for Xbox ever. We can't thank you enough for being a part of that, and we hope you are as excited as we are for Xbox's future. From our own games like Starfield, Forza Motorsport, Hellblade 2, Fable, South of Midnight, Avowed, Clockwork Revolution, Microsoft Flight Sim 2024, Towerborn, and more, to those coming to Xbox from our partners around the world. Star Wars Outlaws, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty, City Skylines 2, 33 Immortals, and more, our show aimed to bring something for every kind of player. Whether you're an RPG obsessive, an indie curio collector, a PC player, a console owner, or even brand new to gaming, we'd like to think there was something that piqued your interest. In all, viewers from around the globe were first to witness reveals for 27 games, 13 from our first-party studios, and 21 of which will be available with Game Pass, not to mention a new console in the form of the Carbon Black Xbox Series S. And we followed it all up with Xbox Game Showcase Extended, which brought you even more to see, from new announcements like High on Life's High on Knife DLC to deep dives into games from our studios and partner teams. We'd like to thank all the teams involved, from the studios themselves, who worked tirelessly to bring their games to the show, many of them showing their projects off for the very first time, to the many, many people who worked behind the scenes to help make this show a success. But most of all, we'd like to thank you, me, the players in the community, for the excitement and for the support. Xbox's mission is to bring the joy of gaming to everyone, no matter where they are, and your joy at seeing the future of Xbox helps to know we are on the right path, or helps us to know we are on the right path. And here you can see Phil Spencer giving a little bro shake to this Xbox FanFest attendee here. Very cool stuff. This is cool to see, and I think that there are a couple of things you can pull from this. Number one, interest in gaming is growing day after day after day, and that translates into weeks, months, years. People are wanting to play more games and becoming more interested in playing more games. On top of that, this is reflective of Xbox as a brand and as a company that's putting out games. There are more games now that players are interested in. Looking at Starfield, that direct was incredible. Tons of people are going to be flocking to that to see what all the hubbub is about. The same could be said for any of those other games that were listed in the blog. There are more games compared to years past, which drive more views. So I think, number one, that's a reflection of the excitement, for sure, but it also shows that Xbox is finally making this vision happen. And I'm excited to see what the future has in store as these games finally come to fruition. I think that we're finally through the rough patch that we saw now, with a lot of games just being absent from 2022 and the beginning of 2023 off to a rocky start with Redfall, I think now we're finally seeing things kind of come together. And as Kinda Funny Games says on their show, the dominoes are falling in place. This could be the time, this could be the year where we finally see all of these games really, really start to land. So over 92 million views is nothing to shake a stick at. Congrats to the team over at Xbox for making that happen. But as far as games you can play right now, or at least soon, on Xbox Game Pass, we have a new lineup of titles coming soon to the service, many of which are available now. Megan Spur, community lead over at Xbox Game Pass, writes, "There are many opportunities to brush up on our real-life skills through gaming this month, including puzzle solving, cooking, building a settlement on the back of a giant wandering creature to survive a post-apocalyptic world, and even photography. Let's get to the games." Starting off available now, Tectonica in-game preview is on cloud console and PC. Toem is on cloud console and PC as well. And The Cave is available on cloud and console. Coming soon, and by soon I mean July 19th, which is a couple of days ago as I'm recording this. So also available now, we have Maquette on console and PC, Figment 2 Creed Valley on cloud console and PC, and The Wandering Village also on cloud console and PC. Now coming on July the 25th, we have Serious Sam Siberian Mayhem on cloud, PC, and Xbox Series X and S, and Venba is coming July 31st to console and PC, available day one with Xbox Game Pass. Celeste is also coming back to the service on cloud, console, and PC starting on August the 1st. Then we have DLC and game updates. Naraka Blade Point Deluxe Edition Upgrade is available now. League of Legends Champion Nefiri is on landing on July 20th, so also available now. And The Legend of Monkey Island is out now in Sea of Thieves. Shameless promo. If you want to learn more about The Legend of Monkey Island, Captain Logan has his Keelhaul podcast that digs into everything Sea of Thieves. You should go check that out. A friend of the show. He does some fantastic work for the Sea of Thieves community. Also has recently done a bit of world traveling as well, so I'm sure some stories are coming from that too. Then Dead by Daylight Nicolas Cage DLC is landing on July the 25th, and Game Pass members can save 10% on the DLC. We also have some Game Pass Ultimate perks. The Crunchyroll Premium perk is out now. For a limited time, you can get 75 days of Crunchyroll Premium, the Mega Fan plan, with your Xbox Game Pass Ultimate membership. We've got some FIFA stuff and some Naruto stuff as well. Now we get to the sad part. Leaving July the 31st, we have Dreamscaper, Expeditions Rome, Marvel's Avengers, The Ascent, and Two Point Campus. I need to get back and play some more of The Ascent. I never finished that game, but boy, what a beautiful game that one is. So, solid lineup here. Out of all of these games, I'm interested in checking out The Wandering Village. Aesthetically, it's really interesting. Toem is also an indie I've had my eye on for a while. But a game that I reviewed when it came out is Serious Sam Siberian Mayhem. This is a very fun, I wouldn't call it a shoot 'em up, but it's a Doom-style game. If you played Serious Sam, it is more of that action, now with a bit of snow. But I played through it on PC, excited to check it out on Series X and S. I know I was not a huge fan of the way Serious Sam 4 played on console, but I do want to go back and check this out because it is a very good time, and I love some Serious Sam and some of those explosions. Kind of has some of the humor of Duke Nukem mixed with the action of Doom. That kind of thing really does speak to me. So if any of these games pique your interest, some are out now and some are coming soon to Xbox Game Pass. To round out today's show, we've got two stories to touch on. First, Xbox's top 10 best-selling games are mostly old Xbox 360 Call of Duties. Now, this report from Kotaku is a couple of days old, but I checked last night and the list is still pretty accurate. As of July the 20th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and I want to say July 20th, 2023, the top 10 best-selling games on Xbox are Call of Duty Black Ops 2 at number 1, Modern Warfare 2 at number 2, Call of Duty Black Ops at number 3, and Modern Warfare 3 at number 4, with number 6 being 2022's Modern Warfare 2, number 7 being Call of Duty Black Ops 3 from 2015, and then at number 9 we have Call of Duty World at War from 2008. A game from 2008 is a top 10 selling game on the Xbox marketplace. And this is all because Microsoft went back and finally fixed the servers for these older Call of Duty titles. For many years, people literally couldn't matchmake on these older COD games. But now it seems like ahead of their impending launch on Xbox Game Pass, once this Activision Blizzard deal is done, these games have been fixed and fans found out and they are diving back in. In fact, I've seen on Twitter reports of six-digit player figures for a game like Call of Duty Black Ops, which is one of my favorite games of all time. And I think what this shows is, number one, people love nostalgia. People love diving back into games they spent a ton of time with as kids. But number two, it also shows the benefit of backward compatibility. The fact that I can take a copy of Modern Warfare 3 or Black Ops and throw it into my Xbox Series X and it just works is amazing. I don't have to have older hardware. I can just play the game on the system I'm already playing without any kind of issue with a physical disc, or I can buy it digitally for a pretty good deal. These games were on sale during the Ultimate Game Sale as well. But I also want to say, I think this shows that people miss the old Call of Duty setup, because right now, Modern Warfare 2 from last year is set up in a way to be a live service game that has a stranglehold on every free minute of your life. If you want to really get into Modern Warfare 2, you've got to dedicate your time to that game and spend as much time as possible grinding for various weapon attachments, getting skins. It's just monetized through and through. Whether you're spending tons of money or spending tons of time, they're going to get you one way or another. And getting back into Black Ops last week, you just dive in, you equip your weapon, you equip your attachments, you have a good time, you log off, and you do it all again tomorrow. It's not trying to strong arm its way into every free minute that you have. And I really appreciate that about older Call of Duty games. Now, is that the best option for monetization? Probably not, because with Modern Warfare 2, you've got the streaming community, you've got the whales that are spending tons of money in the game. I get the approach from a business point of view. As a player, though, I appreciate the respect for my time. That's all I'll say on that. If you do want to dive in, the Xbox 360 Call of Duty games are thriving right now. If you've got older physical copies, dive in, pop them in, play them to your heart's content. But also, if you wait a couple of months or even maybe a couple of weeks, who knows, you could be seeing these games land on Game Pass as soon as they can after the Activision Blizzard deal closes. But to round out today's show, we have a first look at Homelander and Peacemaker in Mortal Kombat 1. We have Combat Pack 1, the first DLC for the game, officially revealed at San Diego Comic-Con, headlined by Homelander from The Boys, Omni-Man from Invincible, and Peacemaker from the Peacemaker TV show and comic series, as modeled after John Cena. We love to see that. NetherRealm Studios finally made it official on Friday. Homelander from The Boys, Peacemaker from the DC Universe, and Omni-Man from Invincible will appear as guest characters in Mortal Kombat 1 as part of the game's first Combat Pack DLC. Those characters will be joined by Mortal Kombat veterans Quan Chi, Ermac, and Takeda. The developers of Mortal Kombat 1 revealed a sneak peek at the Combat Pack lineup at San Diego Comic-Con, where other characters were confirmed for the fighting game. Tanya, Li Mei, Baraka, Darius, and Chameleon. Homelander will be based on actor Anthony Starr's appearance in The Boys television series, and Peacemaker will be based on John Cena's look from the HBO Max series created by James Gunn, and you can find a closer look in the reveal trailer. Also worth mentioning, Omni-Man is going to be voiced by J.K. Simmons, who voiced him in the animation. So awesome to see J.K. Simmons getting officially inducted into the Mortal Kombat universe. But as a huge fan of The Boys and Peacemaker, it's awesome to see these characters coming into the game. With Mortal Kombat, I'm not a big fighting games guy, so I might watch this one a bit when it comes out. I don't know if I want to dive in on day one, because I know it's not a game I'm going to be spending a ton of time with, but seeing these character cameos definitely makes it more appealing to check it out when things launch and get rolling. So we'll see how much the first Combat Pack is. We don't have a release date right now. I know Combat Pack 1 for Mortal Kombat 11 is $20 right now on the Xbox Store, so we'll see what happens with that, but very cool stuff here revealed at San Diego Comic-Con. But that rounds out this week's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you're new here and you enjoy what you see or what you hear, be sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube or add the show to your podcast feed of choice and get it delivered right to you every single Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, I've got a bit of a bonus video coming this week with my thoughts on the Crew Motorfest. I'm a part of the Ubisoft Creators Program, so I got to dive in a little bit early, go hands-on with a few hours of the game, and I cannot wait to share my thoughts, because if you're a fan of Forza Horizon, this is going to be a very enticing game for you. More to share in the days ahead. But until next time, you guys have a fantastic rest of your week. I'll talk to you soon, and as always, keep on playing.